Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for this conference, this special time when you gather your whole body, all the members from all over the world to gather here and sit before your feet to listen to your speaking. We thank you, Lord, that throughout these years, all the speaking that you have released in your recovery, all your leading in the past, we would pray that we will continue on from that so that we will listen to your present speaking to be renewed and strengthened by you so that we will walk on this way the remaining years of our life. Lord, be with us richly in these 2 days. What we treasure most is not anything outward, nothing of the outward condition or circumstances. Rather, we only treasure your presence, your living speaking and fresh speaking. We pray that in all of the messages given to be given in these 2 days, we pray that the ones who speak and the ones who listen will be in the mingled spirit so that we have your anointing, so that we will touch your heart's burden, so that at this time you can gain a group of people on this earth in your recovery who fight the good fight, who are here to run the course predestinated for us and to keep the faith. Lord, we pray that you will gain such a people in your recovery to cooperate with you so that your economy will be accomplished soon so that we can bring you back. Thank you, Lord. We really rejoice that here in Taipei we can have this joyful gathering of all the saints from 78 countries all over the world. On the one hand, this is a time of rejoicing, a time of excitement that we can see so many brothers and sisters. Yet on the other hand, our attitude is that we are awaiting here for the Lord speaking. If we do not have the Lord speaking, anything outward would not count. So on the one hand, as we blend with one another, as we have this joyful gathering, we need to be watchful in our spirit. We need to be waiting before the Lord so that he will give us a fresh and living word. This 2024 International Chinese Speaking Blending Conference, the general subject is fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. This general subject is based on Paul's word in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. We know that the book of 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul before his martyrdom. It was his last epistle. It was written at a time when the church has become degraded, when many believers have left, forsaken the apostles' teaching. They have been influenced by various philosophies and different teachings. It is under such circumstances that our brother Paul spoke this word, which might be considered a word of warning and also a word of encouragement to strengthen us so that in these last days, during the church's decline, how can we stand steadfastly faithful to the end? These two verses Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. He mentioned three matters. We are those who have to fight the good fight. We are also those who are running a race, and we are the ones who should keep our faith. From these two verses, we see that Paul was writing about the threefold experience of one who loves the Lord. Such a person fights a good fight, runs a race, and has received a commission to keep the faith. When they have this threefold experience, they are in a condition of loving the Lord and loving his appearing. It is under such a condition that they await a result, which is the Lord's reward, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will reward them. So these two verses show us a sight. We Christians, we who love the Lord, on this earth, in this last age, when the church is in degradation, how should we follow the Lord in order to carry out his eternal economy? We must participate in the fight. We must participate in the race, and we must fulfill our commission to keep the faith. Message 1, the title is Fighting the Good Fight. On this earth, there are a lot of fightings and wars, but none of these fightings and wars are good. Those are not the good fight. It's altogether full of hatred, mutual killing, and all kinds of pain and suffering. Yet, Paul says he has fought the good fight. Thank the Lord that on this earth there is a fight that is good. Why is it good? Because this fight is for God's eternal purpose, is a fight for God's eternal economy, so that God's eternal economy can be fulfilled, so that the glorious Lord can have a glorious expression on earth. This fight is indeed a good fight. Roman numeral 1 says, as revealed in 2 Timothy 4:7, a proper Christian life is threefold. It involves fighting the good fight, running and finishing the course, and keeping the faith. Such a threefold living or service involves the same thing. This very thing is God's eternal economy. It's quite wonderful that when Paul mentioned these three matters, the first thing he mentioned is fighting the good fight. Then he follows with running or finishing the course, and thirdly, to keep the faith as I was preparing, I considered this. If I were to write this epistle, I might have begun with finishing the course and keeping the faith and putting the fighting as the last item. Yet Paul puts as his first item the fighting of the good fight, because according to experience and his realization, the whole process of his Christian life is a warfare. The running is a warfare. The keeping of the faith is a matter of warfare. Recently, in the December semi-annual training, we cover the matter of entering into the good land, to possess the land, to enter into God's purpose for His elect. The entering of the good land is altogether a matter of warfare. Yes, God wants His beloved Son, the all-inclusive Christ, to be everything to us. But on this good land, there are enemies. So we need to fight in order to enter into and possess this good land. So we need to pay attention to this threefold experience. As a Christian, we should have a fighting spirit. When God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, their experience of coming out of Egypt is a type of we, the children of God, experiencing God's salvation. God said that they are the Jehovah's army, the army of Jehovah coming out of Exodus. These redeemed ones are the army of God. On the earth, they are fighting for God's interest. Many Christians think that to be a Christian is only a matter of having the sins forgiven and wait to go to heaven. Yet the Bible shows us clearly that as a Christian, we have received Christ, we experience Christ for one purpose, which is to participate in the divine fighting, divine warfare, so that through this we might gain this all-inclusive Christ. So, Paul, among the three matters, he puts the matter of the fighting of the good fight as the first item. We are here fighting. This weekend, these 2 days, is a time of celebration, a time of enjoyment. On the other hand, we are in the midst of a warfare. We are here to shame the enemy, to stamp the enemy under our feet. Roman numeral 2. I have fought the good fight. Capital A. The believers fight the good fight by receiving the apostles' charge. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul says, "This charge I commit to you, my child Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might war the good warfare." Such a charge is not an ordinary general charge. This word charge implies a commandment, implies authority. The apostle, according to his God-given authority, charged his young co-worker Timothy to war the good warfare according to the prophecies previously made concerning him. So, warring the warfare, I don't like warring. I love peace. I love to have the harmony all over the earth. Yet, God's economy requires our fighting because God has an enemy in this universe. This enemy needs to be defeated. So, whether you like it or not, the Lord has a charge here. It's such a strong charge that we need to participate in the warfare in order to defeat his enemy. Small one, the charge given by the apostle to his spiritual son concerns the economy of God positively and the different teachings negatively. Here are two matters in contrast to each other. One is the economy of God. The other is the different teachings. In 1 Timothy 1:4, Paul spoke a strong word to his co-worker Timothy to charge certain ones not to teach different things, things different from God's economy. This is a very serious word, a very strong word. Charging people not to teach different things. These different things may not be heretical or wrong teachings. Anything that is not the same as God's eternal economy, anything that is not in line with God's economy, anything not on the central line of God's economy, is a different teaching. I do hope that in the Lost Recovery, as we are spreading, as we are increasing, many young people are being raised up, the younger generation, you need to be very clear about what God's economy is. God's economy is his eternal plan to dispense himself in his Son through his Spirit into us to be our life so that we can be built together to be his organic body to express him in this universe. God's economy is to dispense himself into us human beings. God's economy is not just to require us to be good men or spiritual men or even overcoming people or to do many good works for him. No, God's economy is to work himself into us. God wants to have himself mingled with us, and he will mingle us with him, to blend himself into us and blend us into him. This is the central revelation of the Bible. As we live the church life in all the different localities, we should take God's economy as the center of our church life and the center of our Christian life. We are not here to have a better conduct, to have a better family life. That is not the emphasis of God's economy. God's economy is just to work himself into us. So we need to give heed to this matter. In the Church of God, we should not lightly teach anything that is not in line with God's economy. We need to remain in the central line of God's economy. Small two. Paul charged Timothy to fight against the deviation from the faith. That is to fight the good fight of the faith. Different teachings has one purpose, which is to cause people to deviate from the central line of God's economy. So here we need to have a struggle, a fighting to keep not only ourselves, but also to keep all the children of God in the central line. We should not let those are the distracting persons, things, and matters to cause us unconsciously to deviate from the central line. This is very serious. So, for this, we need to receive discharge to fight the good fight. Capital B. Paul told Timothy that according to the prophecies previously made concerning him, he might war the good warfare. If we read 1 Timothy 4:14, there Paul told Timothy not to give it to the prophecies that spoken to him through the laying on of hands. Those prophecies are concerning the time when Timothy was initiated into the ministry. Paul and the elders laid their hands on Timothy and spoke some words of prophecy concerning this young co-worker, so that he has received a gift to teach others. So Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight according to the prophecies made concerning him. This is not a warfare with flesh and blood. This is not an outward warfare. Rather, it is by speaking God's word. Thank the Lord. We are those who have the gift of God when we are saved. This gift is actually the Spirit dispensed into us. Every one of us, we might say, every one of us, as we are saved, we have received the gift of God. So we need to learn to speak the word of God. It is by speaking God's word that we fight the good fight. Small one, to war the good warfare is to war against the different teachings of the dissenters and to carry out God's economy. Two, this war is according to the apostles' ministry concerning the gospel of grace and eternal life for the glory of the blessed God. The ministry of the Apostle Paul is to preach a gospel of grace and eternal life, the result of which, or the goal of which, is for the glory of the blessed God. Paul's ministry, what he preaches, the gospel that he preaches, is not the ordinary gospel about joy and blessings, a gospel that tells people to believe in Jesus in order not to go to hell. The gospel that Paul preached is the gospel of grace and eternal life, so that the blessed God can have an expression that he can be blessed, that he can be glorified. So this is the gospel that we preach, the gospel of grace, gospel of life, gospel for the glory of the blessed God. Three, on the one hand, Timothy was to war against the different teachings. On the other hand, he was to carry out God's economy according to the apostles' ministry. Four, to teach and preach God's economy concerning Christ and the church is to war the good warfare. In the last 100 years, since our brother Watchman Nee, followed by Witness Lee, to this day, we in the Lost Recovery, we are built up upon a very firm foundation. This foundation is to show us that Christ is the embodiment of God. He is all-inclusive and all-extensive. He is the centrality and universality of the universe. His body, which is His church, is His fullness. Christ and the church is the mystery of God and the mystery of the church. These two mysteries, two great mysteries, are the major content of the lost recovery. What we preach can never deviate from Christ and His church. What we emphasize here is not just to give people some help, spiritual help, to cause them to be good men, to live a good living. Rather, what we emphasize is to help people to know Christ as the all-inclusive one, Christ as the embodiment of God, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Him. We need to know Him, to uplift Him, and to express Him. This is our Christian life. And on this earth, we are not just many separate believers. Rather, we are built up together in various localities, and as we blend together, we become His universal body. This is the goal of God's eternal economy. God must gain such a universal organism, not an organization, but an organism to express Him in this universe. During this weekend, we have 30,000 gathered here. We are not representing the churches in various localities. Rather, we are one body in Christ. We are one new man. We are blended and built up together. This is the goal of God's eternal economy. We should always have Christ and the church to be the center of our Christian life and the content of our church life. This is the way to fight the good fight. Capital C, 1 Timothy 6:12a says, fight the good fight of the faith. What is faith? This faith is not concerning what religion, the so-called religion they believe in, Christianity, Buddhism, and so forth. No, in the New Testament, the faith refers to the things we believe in. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is God becoming man. He was crucified on the cross to accomplish redemption. On the third day, He was resurrected, and on His resurrection, He became a life-giving spirit. One day, He will come again to receive His bride. This is what we believe in. We need to fight a good fight for this faith. Jude 3 says, we need to contend for the faith which has been delivered once for all to the saints. We should not be passive, aimlessly being a Christian, just having our sins forgiven, just to live a peaceful life. Rather, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, right on that day, we have a faith planted into us. We have not joined a certain religious organization. Rather, we have this faith, which is the one whom we believe in. This God, this triune God, and the processes that He passed through, all that He is, all that He has done, become the content of our faith. We need to fight. We need to contend for this faith which has been delivered to us once and for all. when Brother Ni, he was in prison for 20 years in mainland China until martyrdom. Before his martyrdom, right there in the prison cell, he left a note on which he wrote, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Became a man to redeem man and was resurrected on the third day. This is the greatest truth in the universe, and I die for this. This is the pattern that our brother has left to us. He really sacrificed everything for this truth. He kept this truth. He fought the good fight for this truth. He did not just suffer a little. He did not just suffer something because of a religion. Rather, he knew what the faith is. The faith is the one whom he believed in. Jesus Christ, God incarnated, redeeming our sins, dying for us on the cross, and being resurrected for us. This is the greatest truth in the universe. He sacrificed everything. He sacrificed his own life for this. May the Lord today on this earth also gain such a group of people before his coming. In the Lord's recovery, we are here to fight and contend for the truth, to fight the good fight of the faith. Small one, to fight for the faith means to fight for God's New Testament economy. Two, in particular, it is to fight for Christ as the embodiment of God and for the church as the body of Christ. We should not belittle these two things. Christ and his church. Who is Christ? Christ is not only our Savior. Christ is the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. He is the all-inclusive, all-extensive one as the centrality and universality of the universe. He has unsearchable riches. Even using our own life, we cannot exhaust his riches. Not only should we know him, we need to enjoy him, to experience him, and to express him. Brother Ni said very clearly in his booklet, what are we? In that message that he gave, he said, our responsibility on this earth in these last days is to uplift this Christ. This Christ who is all and in all is the one whom we uplift. We do not uplift any other person, things or matters. We only uplift this one, the Christ of God. He is all and in all. And we should also fight for the church as the body of Christ. We need to blend many saints together so that they are built up together. It is not easy. Not to say 30,000, even 30 in a certain locality, for the 30 saints to be harmoniously and peacefully built up is not so easy. We have our disposition, our natural constitution, ourself. All of these are frustrations to the building. But if we see the vision of God's economy, we are for Christ and for the church. We are ready to pay any price for Christ and the church. We are here fighting the good fight for the expression of Christ so that the church, his body, will be his fullness to live and express the triune God in the universe. Three, To fight the good fight of the faith is to fight for the contents of the complete gospel according to God's eternal economy. Four, because of different teachings, the church had already become degraded and had deviated from the faith. Paul charged Timothy to fight against this deviation from the truth, which is to fight the good fight of the faith. We cannot deny that we are indeed living in an age when the church has degraded. We have a lot of different teachings around us. If we are not clear about God's economy, it is very easy for us to be trapped into the different teachings. Many teachings may sound good, may sound to fit your needs. Those are teachings of men. Those are different teachings. Being not in line with God's economy, those teachings cannot cause the church, the body of Christ, to be built up. So, brothers and sisters, we are in a warfare today, but we need to know what is our faith. What is God's eternal economy? Small four. Capital D. In 1 Timothy 6:12b, Paul goes on to say, lay hold on the eternal life to which you were called. In the first part of the verse, he says, we need to fight a good fight. Then the second part of the verse says, we have to lay hold on the eternal life. How to fight the good fight? We do not fight with flesh and blood. We do not debate with others concerning doctrines. That is meaningless. God wants us to stand for the faith, to fight for the faith. It's not using outward weapons. It's not by means of our blood and flesh. Rather, we need to participate of the divine warfare in the divine life. Small one, the eternal life is actually the process and consummated triune God being life to us. Brothers and sisters, I hope that we can be clear that this life is not referring to a future blessing, any kind of power, any kind of excitement. No. This life, this eternal life, is just the triune God himself, the process and consummated triune God being life to us. This triune God has entered into us to be our life. So, 1 John 5:11 says, he who has the life, the Son of God has life, has the eternal life. Life is not a feeling. Life is not a matter. Life is a person, the Son of God. It is God himself becoming our life. Small two, the eternal life in 1 Timothy 6:12b is the divine life. The uncreated life of God, which is eternal. In God's eternal economy, what is revealed is that this triune God became flesh, passed through human living, was crucified, and was resurrected after 3 days. All of these are eternal matters. All the human teachings, different teachings, are temporary, are corruptible. Yet, Paul reminded his co-worker Timothy that to fight the good fight, we have to lay hold on the eternal life. All other teachings cause people to be corrupted. All those other teachings will pass away. What we need to lay hold on is the eternal life. Small three, eternal denotes the nature more than the time element of the divine life. Eternal is not just everlasting. eternal denotes a nature. Just like gold has an eternal nature. It is incorruptible. It will not change in nature. And so is God's life. Even though in the age of the degradation of the church, many different teachings, many things, persons have been changing and being changed in nature. But here is something that's eternal, that is incorruptible, that is divine. For us to fight the good fight, we need to lay hold on the eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we should not just live in this temporary visible world. We need to learn to live in eternity, which is invisible. God's economy is altogether in the realm of eternity. It is in the realm unseen with the human eye. This has eternal value. Small four. To fight the good fight of the faith in the Christian life, we need to lay hold on this divine life and not trust in our human life. Paul says, we need to lay hold on this life. What does it mean to lay hold? That means your living, your daily walk has a main trunk that controls you, that constricts you, that controls your Christian life and church life. What controls you? Is it just ethics and morality? Is it just some gains in spirituality? Rather, it should be the eternal life that is controlling you, governing you. In this universe, you have the solar system. You have the sun and all the planets circulate around the sun. So this universe, even the solar system, has a center. All the planets just circulate, orbiting around this center. Our Christian life, our church life, does it have a center? Or are we just trying to get something that we feel would be beneficial to us? Do we have a center that we can lay hold on? Is there something that calls us to be adhered to it? If we don't have this center, our Christian life would be aimless, without a direction. God's economy shows us very clearly that this Christ is the center of God's economy. We need to learn to lay hold on the eternal life, not to just let this life go, not to compromise in anything that contradicts this life. Five, we fight the good fight of the faith not only objectively but also subjectively by laying hold on the eternal life. This is not an objective warfare. It's not that I use my Bible to hit your head, you use your Bible to hit me on the head. I try to convince you with my doctrine. All those are objective. Today, our fight is not objective at all. It is something so subjective. If we do not know the divine life of God, if we do not experience this life, then we are just fighting about some outward matters just to convince people, to defeat people outwardly. This is not what we mean. We need to, through this fight, let this life to manifest its glory through us. Let me repeat about our brother Watchman Nee. He was in prison. Outwardly, he seemed to have been defeated. He was arrested. He was in prison. Yet even in his imprisonment, the divine life was there, manifested, magnified, expressed, just like the Apostle Paul. Paul and Silas in the prison of Philippi, outwardly they are defeated. Yet in that prison cell, they sang, they gave praises. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! We will be saved through your prayer and the bountiful supply of the Spirit. It will turn out to be our salvation. All these difficulties, all these bonds will become our salvation. So, who is defeated? Who wins the victory? Christ is the victor. His life is manifested. So this warfare is very subjective. Six, the subtlety of the enemy in bringing deviation from the faith is to keep the believers from the eternal life. Today, not only do we have different teachings outwardly to distract us. Behind those, you have the subtle works of the enemy. Through those different teachings, the enemy is so subtle. He will not show his devilish face to you. Rather, he put on a sheep's skin. He is so subtle. Ephesians 4:14, Paul says, you should not be blown by winds of teaching. These winds of teaching are in the sleight of man, in craftiness with a view to a system of error. If we consider the entire world situation and the entire condition of the children of God, we cannot deny that the enemy has a lot of deceitful, subtle works, a lot of things of the authority of darkness, exercising control, so that many people unconsciously deviate from the faith. Don't think that it is difficult to deviate from the faith. Miss a inch and then you miss a mile. So in the beginning it's just an inch. Eventually you deviate by a mile. So for our young people who are being raised up among us, we need to know God's economy. We need to be able to discern the different teachings so that we can lay hold on the eternal life and not be distracted by many things that might give you excitement, that might give you so-called success, that might give you so-called some benefits. Rather, you need to lay hold on the eternal life of God. The enemy is always subtle. Seven, we genuine believers must lay hold on the eternal life. Without the eternal life, we are nothing. Eight, we need to lay hold on the eternal life, then we will be able to fight the good fight. The purpose of this good fight is that the economy of God, the eternal purpose of God can be fulfilled so that he can have an expression in the universe. This is a matter of life. This is not something that can be done by the arrangement of men, by the works of men. So these days in the Lost Recovery, we have a lot of conferences and trainings. Through this, our knowledge and experience concerning this divine life is the focus, is our burden. We need to grow in the knowledge of life. The bride, in order to be prepared, has to grow. It's not by some outward adornment. Rather, how old is the lost bride? What about the stature? What about her stature? Is she just 2 or 3 feet? What about the measure of life in you? If his church, his so-called counterpart, is only a 5-year-old girl, how can he come back? There is a desperate need here that the children of God has the full knowledge of the life of God, and to let this life grow in us unto maturity, so that when the Lord comes, there can be a group of people on earth that Christ can consider to be his bride, who has such a stature, such a measure to match him. They have attained to the stature of the fullness of the body of Christ. Small 9. In 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, eternal life is stressed again and again. It is because of the degradation of the church that the Apostle Paul stressed this matter of the eternal life. At least 8 or 9 times he mentioned the eternal life. Small 10. To carry out God's economy concerning the church, as seen in 1 Timothy, to confront the downward trend of the church's decline, as seen in 2 Timothy, and to maintain good order in the church, as seen in Titus, this life is a prerequisite. Okay, we move on to capital E. We are fighting the good fight against Satan and the kingdom of darkness. When God created man in the beginning, he created man in his own image and after his likeness. Also, he gave man the dominion. Because in the universe, God has an enemy. He wants to defeat this enemy, to subdue this enemy through man. This enemy, today, even though 2,000 years ago, when the Lord was on the cross, he already judged this enemy. Yet to this day, this enemy is still moving about, roaming about on this earth, doing a vigorous work, more vigorous than 2,000 years ago. He is doing many things that is beyond our imagination. We are indeed confronting a very difficult situation. Many things happen which are related to the activities of the enemy. The authority of darkness is even more fierce than 2,000 years ago, because the enemy knows that his end is near, so he is struggling. On the one hand, we fight for the faith, for God's economy. On the other hand, we should not neglect that God has an enemy. There is the authority of darkness operating in all the circumstances. we should not only be able to preserve ourselves whole, but should also challenge the devil. Just like the children of Israel, when they entered into the good land of Canaan, they saw the Nephilim, the giants. They thought they would be eaten by them. Yet Caleb and Joshua, they had another spirit. They know that God had promised the good land to us. We need to boldly go on. Today, we are in the same situation. We should not be intimidated by the fierce work of the enemy. We should not be threatened. Rather, we know that God is with us. We stand with the overcomer. Not only should we preserve ourselves whole, the lost recovery here on this earth is not for the benefit of man, for the welfare of man. The entire Christianity, their major goal is for the welfare of man, for the interests of man. Yet the Lord raised up his economy, his recovery for his interest, for his kingdom. We might also say, we are not here for preserving ourselves whole, not for our spirituality, not for our overcoming. We are here for the completion of God's economy, for the building up of his body quickly. When Brother Nee wrote or released those messages put out in the book, The Glorious Church, in the preface, he said clearly that today, many in Christianity, they are so zealous, they are so fervent for the gospel, for good works. They want to do great works for God, but who cares for God's interest on earth? Who will be here to defeat God's enemy? So Brother Nee told us clearly, not only should we do the gospel work, not only should we do the work of edifying God's children, the burden of our work is to see the enemy put to shame. So that his enemy will suffer loss. The conference this time is not just for some mutual enjoyment and some supply. Even more, through such a gathering, we want to shame the enemy. The kingdom of Satan will be defeated through the new man, through the body of Christ being built up. We are here not for the benefits of men on this earth, individually. Two, we should be God's soldiers, fighting the good fight, overthrowing the devil's strongholds, and taking captive men's thoughts unto the obedience of Christ. Today, the greatest weapon of the enemy, his strategy, his subtlety, is to border people's mind. Man's mind, man's thoughts are full of darkness, full of rebellion, full of vanity. This is the work of God's enemy, injecting these things into man's mind. The enemy is manipulating in God's man's mind. You see, all the things that happen are because man's mind is being damaged by the enemy. Isaiah chapter 2, 52. Those who call evil good, who call darkness light, who call bitterness sweetness, and sweetness bitterness. If we consider the world situation, isn't that the situation today? They take sweetness as bitterness and bitterness as sweetness. They take good for evil and evil for good. They don't have the standard. The human mind is all together damaged by the devil, so everything is upside down, full of rebellion, full of vanity, full of darkness. So our warfare is with the authority of darkness. We need to defeat this authority of darkness, to take captive man's thoughts unto the obedience of Christ, so that the mind of man can be renewed unto the obedience of Christ. F, we are fighting the good fight for the truth. What is the truth? Small one, truth is the triune God with His Word. Truth is not doctrine. Truth is God Himself. I am the truth, the reality. The truth is God Himself and His Word. It refers to a divine reality. In this universe, there is a reality. God is reality. Christ is reality. The Spirit is reality. The outward material things are not reality. The chair on which you sit might look so firm, yet after some time, it will be broken. It will not be here. Only the triune God is the reality. Small two, the divine truth is absolute. We must be absolute for the truth and uphold the absoluteness of the truth. Any person, things, and matter can change. Yet our God, He was, He is, and He will be. He is the great I Am. He is the I Am. We are not. You are not. I am not. Only He is. He is the truth. So the Lord Jesus, when He was on this earth, He said, I am the truth. I am the reality. Truth is absolute. Second Corinthians 13:8, Paul says that we should not do anything contrary to the truth. Only we should uphold the truth. We are not able to do anything against the truth. We shouldn't say that this truth is so high, too high, I cannot receive it. Is the truth true or are you true? We are all temporary. One day we will pass away, but truth will continue to exist. Truth is everlasting. Truth is absolute. We are not able to do anything against the truth, but rather for the truth. We should honor God's truth, take the way of the truth, and not compromise the truth in any way. Brothers and sisters, will we honor God's truth, or will we just honor a certain person, honor certain circumstances, certain things, certain outward conditions? From our brothers before us, even from the Reformation, Martin Luther, he faced the strong power of Catholicism. He stood on the side of the truth. He would not be threatened by the strong power of Catholicism. He would not compromise the truth. We need to honor God's truth, even if outside everything is against the truth. Shall we compromise? shall we just give in to the weakness of man, just to sympathize with man's deficiency? In the last years, the God's servants are always absolute to the truth, starting with Martin Luther, so many servants of God, Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, they stand absolutely for the truth. They will not compromise because of man's defect. Small four, we need to have the truth wrought into us and constituted into our being. To fight for the truth does not depend on how much we can write, how much we can speak. Rather, we need to have the truth constituted into our being, so that as we stand here, it is the truth standing here. Truth is in us. We are a man of truth, just like 1 Corinthians 13. God's truth is in me. God's truthfulness is in me. It's God's truthfulness becoming a man's truthfulness. Paul can say that Christ's truthfulness is his truthfulness. To fight the good fight for the truth, we need to have the truth wrought into us. Not only should we pursue the truth to get into the truth, we need to allow the truth to be wrought into our being. Small five, for the consummation of the divine economy, we should be absolute for the present truth and the highest truth and the subjective truth. After the last 100 years, after this long history of the lost recovery, the recovery of the truth is progressing. It's progressive. Level after level, we are going higher and higher until we reach the high peak of the truth. God becoming man, that man may become God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. You feel this is too high? Today, God's truth has been recovered to such an extent to reach this high peak. Some people said, the truth in the lost recovery is too high. I don't understand. This is not practical. It has no help to my daily life. No, you are wrong. This truth is very helpful to your life. God wants to work himself into you. He wants to work Christ into your daily living so that he becomes you and you become him. As a degraded man, defeated man, we do not understand. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Lord, your faith is always progressing. Do not allow me to just stay in the beginning. Lord, uplift me, broaden me, so that I can follow the advancement of your truth. We should be absolute for the present truth and the highest truth and the subjective truth. John 6, when the Lord told his disciples, I am the bread of life, he who eats me, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. The disciples, even Peter said, this word is so hard. How can we understand? Oh, brothers and sisters, Christ is eatable. God is drinkable. Oh, we do not understand. We cannot believe this. You should not be confined by the limitation of man. We need to overcome the human weakness, to overcome the human deficiency in order to enter into the absolute truth of God. The brothers before us have fought for the truth. Now, we know that every one of us knows that we can eat and drink the Lord, thank the Lord. Six, we must learn to teach and preach things that are higher than where we are. Do not be limited by yourself, even though we are not up to that standard. We should still teach and speak these things. 7, for the consummation of the divine economy, we should be absolute for the way of the divine truth. Today, the lost recovery is on the way of the truth. This is a way. We have been on this way for 100 years. May we continue on this way until the Lord comes. We are here on the way of the truth. For the consummation of the divine economy, we should be absolute for the way of the divine truth. 8, the churches should bear the responsibility to clarify our teachings in order to fight for the truth, care for the lost recovery, and take care of our testimony. Thank and praise the Lord. The lost recovery, after 100 years history, has been spreading to all the 6 continents. In this weekend, in these 2 brief days, we are here to testify to the glory of the truth, to defeat, to shame God's enemy. Today, God's testimony is spread all over the earth. Even though we speak different languages, we are of different races and colors, but we have touched God's testimony, which is Christ Himself as the all-inclusive one to be our life and our everything. And we today live in His church, being blended together and built up together to be His glorious testimony. May the Lord bless us.